Thank you, O'Vale. I wish I could speak Irish. Can't. English is a struggle to speak. The tiny, if I read an Irish poem, it trips off the tongue. I wish I could speak my own language. I can't. But here we go. As I'm staying on Gallows Green, I'll start reading a poem about, it's an Elizabethan London poem, Heads on Poles Just Talking. The heads on poles, a mask. Francis Bacon. As for triumphs, masks, feasts, weddings, funerals, capital executions, and such shows, men need not to be put in mind of them, yet are they not to be neglected? First head. Why hanging, why drawing, why quartering? What for? The national self-interest, the holocaust of the poor. No, it was for Christ. Well, the schism of England. My entrails eviscerated like a fish in front of thousands, my privy parts inflamed. Second head, this failure, this head pinned on as badge of defeat by a peeler state, uprising underground, die in the grimace I once smiled through, this show of teeth, this toothlessness. Third head, the living heads look at me, dropping tears of pity, returning to their meals, their indenture. I have no followers now. Who would follow me here? Fourth head. I behold the vaults of power, freed, not praying, but hating their schemes, their stratagems, the little ease of their religion. Please hate them too, crossing the garden bridge, carting me with you into the bowels of Rome. William Blake. Bacon supposes that the dragon, beast, and harlot are worthy of a place in the New Jerusalem. Excellent traveller, go on and be damned. Chorus of heads. Black sheep warped in our natures, imagining we could outmaneuver the black shepherd yonder without the pen. Witness the petrification in iced eyes, as dragged and swung, as pressed and cleaved. Ghosts were deciphered from our bones. Rocks smashed backs, ropes singed necks, blades cut bladders, maw and colon. It was much better than it is on television. Our message is truncated. This poem is a description of an object, but in the back of my head I hear Blake again saying, empire is no more, now the lion and wolf shall cease. One note, Sekhmet, if you don't already know, is the Egyptian goddess of war, a woman's body with a lion head. To a lion skin rug. Does a lion think? Not of ending its days in a stately home, as a trophy at the top of the staircase, two-dimensional, the bulk scavenged off to a light brown, flat, floppy pancake draped in an archway, a nothing in lion's clothing. No leonine tools of the trade, no cœur de lion pumping the blood of a Richard to flex his claws on Saracen sands. Dead to the world, a mini desert with a hairy dune, the death's head twisted up to seem it's still roaring, but looking like it suffers from a neck disorder called torticollis. Really just a pussycat, safe for an Aesopian mouse to play in the jaws or tiptoe along the whiskers, debate with dull orange eyes from a position of strength, and out-squeal the uber-meow out scuttle the loping stride of the golden killer, who can't even manage a bowl of kitty cat. Is it thinking now, not of chicken liver chunkies, but dreaming of Sekhmet, her womanly hips and breasts, her cobra? I'm afraid I'll have to inflict rhyme and mysticism on you now, but it'll be quite quick. The icon. This fury and sorrow is of the icon emanating from the icon, who works for pharaohs, is seen in falcons and carvings of falcons. There is no tomorrow for man or woman, but in the woman, who in her burrow a mind is making, an intelligence is making. As bow and arrow, its target is seeking, its tip is seeking, to pierce the marrow of the living token and the dying token. The falcon is furrowed, its god is forsaken, its cosmology is forsaken. For ones and zeros, the images are broken, the icon is broken. This is the first book I did. The cover is a kind of, did you ever hear of the Torso and the Thames?
Yeah.
It was the discovery of a kind of torso of a young black child just floating in the Thames, wearing a pair of orange shorts. And so it was Scotland Yard even went out to Africa, but it was seen as this money magic thing. So I've written about it, but it's not trying to point the finger at it's about London. I just see it as about London, and I see it as Blake's the little black boy transferred into the 21st century. So it's just a sort of elegy for him. But it brings in some pidgin. I happen to be quite fluent in pidgin English from Melanesia, the wrong area. But so you'll hear a little bit of pidgin. But just letting you know, it's not Caribbean patois. It's the Republic of Vanuatu. It's their Bislama pidgin. B.W. And I'm black, but oh, my soul is white. One Adam, Sol Niger. The cinemascope of Thames Isis screens a million-fold images, Celtic, Roman, Saxon, inner time-space mirror, but no one was born to the river as Adam. A boy seen in the blue-grey expanse, London looking on London, through a glass darkly, 10 days after 9/11. A relic of himself, a torso in orange shorts, a potion of clay and gold in his belly, as the late Price's extra banners were being written. For the abstract, money. Ating se machinoir staplon background, duty bound to the barrier, pure. The river held him up like Isis, her brother, in the medicinal limb-growing sun, and he was remembered. This fella, little fella, black river, swim no hand, no foot, he go on big sea, too. Blond black man. Talk ye a pigeon, he talk blond black man, or some one and white man, ye use some white man, ye offside, he ananit, he slave now, ye a new fella talk, he juice some. Land was blond black man, he land was blond wall. Mimi no stop, blond country, blond me. Mimi no sabe speak language blong me. Suppose me talk, wet him tang blong white man. Mimi no sabe talam full one story. Language blong black man, I language blong wall. You may follow all getta, I all same black man. Where you may walk him long slave plantation. Name blong plantation here, I money, white sugar, white master, black nation. Language blong black man, I language blong wall. A London poem about gentrification of an area, just the the poor get kicked out of a place where they've been living in for years, and how that is justified. The human elephant in the inhuman room. I was in his soul as if inside a palace that had been deliberately emptied so that no one as ignoble as myself could be seen in it. Rambo. For the socially cleansed. One. It has come the time of our decanting. Goodbye to the interconnecting anti-gravity walkways with their strips of frosted glass. Hello to regular paths and irregular paving stones. Goodbye to our streets in the air. Hello to pound shops and charismatic chapels. We had mystical mansions. We had 1,000 keys, so they jealously took it away. Who cannot understand our tribal croaks, our medicine men, our ghetto aromas, our pirate smiles. Six castles of communism loomed worryingly large for them. Six ships we sailed into bureaucratic pea soup seas. Six rectangles of hell. Two. Only glass pool is left. Is one white car. An unnameable on the 10th floor. And the decanted old woman who comes back to walk her decanted dog. Our houses, our shops were illumined by the original planners who had based everything on light, on sunlight. And we could buy anything, the spices of earth, from neighbors who lived in the same lighting, whose living rooms were also chemists, laundrettes, hairdressers, shebeens. Environmental determinism, says Glasspool. Verily, the overclass envies the underclass, covets what the other doesn't have. Three. When the communal heating system stopped, we resorted to small convector heaters. They trash any commune, any communing. The big dystopia kills off little utopias. When the communal heating system stopped, we felt the Cold War creeping back under our psychedelic snake draft excluders. Did you know the anti-pyramidal city had been built by gypsies riding on Indian elephants? Ganesh was our foreman, trunk stuffed with banglassi. The river sadhus were out of it. Kali was disarmed. No slum dogs, no millionaires could touch us then.
Four.
Nor were we decanted politely. No pinkies were extended to us. The war on brutalism was brutalist. Savagely they gentrify, never once suspecting how nice we are. The streets in the air are an empty estate, a flotation Jerusalem. Our fathers and mothers were buried here in a 60s tab of orange sunshine and a free love climax, even as the big fellow chief dubbed us the forgotten. We fondly remember the vomit running up our esophagi, his tigrish chrism. But as his hug was the beginning of the end for Gaddafi, his eulogy was a kick in the balls of cocaine. Five. Here the human elephant, inhuman castle, in a graffiti-rich grayness. A welcoming hell, empty rooms in the endangered species, showroom trials, rigged judges, juries, developers, the developments in the detail, so the thesis goes. National salvation, socio-political failure, the 40-year day, an affordable toilet, a criminal idyll, more Robin Hood than neighborhood. So the thesis went. The elephant, child of the mammoth, is invisible to those who only see tusks, see ivory, and aim their sights. Darling, how can you miss? A giant graffito, save our estate. Six. We've been decanted and pepper-potted, in spite of because of our iconic status, from our gridded elevations, from our streets in the air, having refused to hand in identities or give DNA samples. Oh, the flushed ova, shooting an elephant, wrote Orwell, a guilty authority. We have been dispersed, all he go one. We shan't see ourselves for miles, for years. We'll live. They are only killing our living rooms, amazing as they were. Let the ill-affordable houses come, clad in trespass, and let those who can ill afford them piss into Lady Portaloos. Let the regrouping be unforeseen. Just wondering, does that make sense in Cork? That poem?
Yep. Yeah.
I know that, yeah. I don't think it's been happening.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely.
Yeah.
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 Living in London as an Irishman, my main problem is conservatism and the Conservative Party. So I'd like to, if you don't mind me taking my tensions out on you with this. Blake, Mental, Mindforged Manacles, first draft of London, the German Forged Links. Actually referring to the Hanoverian dynasty, the Georges, they were German kings. This poem is called Mind Cuffs. What I would ideally like, a sample of Margaret Thatcher saying, conservatism. Lacking that, I will do it myself. So, mind cuffs. The cloud with mouth, conservatism. Utopia's caged in book, conservatism. Sunlessness. Conservatism. Mugwumps and aprons. Conservatism. Language loses its flavour like chewing gum spat out. Conservatism. A dinosaur riding in the back of a dinosaur. Conservatism. Roman roads. Roman cars. Conservatism. In the desert of Tesco Mirage. Conservatism. It's like having to live in the Book of Numbers. Conservatism. I do not wish to walk in a ducal city. Conservatism. The methane prayers, the acid tears. Conservatism. Walled in. Conservatism. And upstairs, downstairs, hermeticism. Conservatism. The mill on the bank. Conservatism. A bitumen mountain. Conservatism. In the bought reality of countless actuaries. Conservatism. Wales, Scotland, Ireland struggle to be free. Conservatism. What you have to realise about the Conservative Party is that it is a coalition of privileged interests. Its main purpose is to defend that privilege, and the way it wins elections is by giving just enough to just enough other people. Conservatism. The whipped dog's wine for Hustings biscuits. Conservatism. Meet the frackers. Conservatism. Tower Sands Yodel, privatized forest Goliath, the Philistine, the fruit voiced liars, the woolly monolith, nation of tacked children, onshore winds, the pits. Conservatism. Air, I need air. Sea, I need sea. Meet the frackers. Conservatism. If anyone has any technology to get me the sample, I'll cut you in on the royalties. That's it. That's the sort of anti-Tory book that I wrote. Sadly, it's still relevant. This one is I went to Jerusalem for a month, so just wrote some sort of prose poems, lyrics, epigrams, and diary entries. I can just give you a sample of this. Obviously, I, you know, like the rest of Ireland, I am pro-Palestinian, but when I went there, my overwhelming feeling was actually Christian guilt of what we had done to Muslims. So this poem maybe expiates a pinch of that. Firing slit 2. Through the firing slit, ensconced in an embrasure, the cross, the crux, the Latin cross, the cross, the crux, the Jerusalem cross, the cross, the crux, the Celtic cross, the cross, the crux, the dagger cross, the cross, the crux, the St. Andrew's cross, the St. George's cross, the cross, the crux, the Latin letter X, the Roman numeral X, the cross, the crux, the patriarchal cross, the Lorraine cross, the cross, the crux, the rose cross, the gold cross, the cross, the crux, the papal cross, the Cathar cross, the cross, the crux, the step cross, the Golgotha cross, the cross, the crux, the iron cross, the swastika, the cross, the crux, the crusader cross, the exploding cross, the cross, the crux, la croix de guerre, the true cross, the cross of all nations, through a firing slit, the swords of Jesus. No! A patch of grass, the grey of cement, traffic, lots of traffic, cars, no chariots, on Suleiman the Magnificent Street, going left and right, not coming this way, traffic to and fro, an ordinary polluted morning, the safety barriers of Suleiman the Magnificent Street, a headscarf people, walking in daylight, cars, not cavalry. And then there's a poem, Zion. When I was there, I had a very, very strong feeling that the word Zion is just a debased coin. And so I went to Zion Hill and wrote a poem trying to deal with that feeling. So Zion. I've got an essay online, if anyone's interested. I've written a blog all about that feeling. Zion, it's just a blog. Zion 2, that's the prose bit. But Zion. It's kind of also thinking of Jeffrey Hill, Orchards of Sion. Thinking of Kai Miller, a cartographer, tries to map his way to Zion. It's still current in the 21st century, and nothing against those books, because they are very accomplished books and very accomplished poets. But the fact that there's no sensitivity necessarily as to what the celebration of Zion in those books might mean to other people that don't feel so celebratory of this debased four-letter word. Zion, Zion designed and signed, Zion signed and resigned. The hill of the lower city loses its foothold, loses its grip. The mountaineer is unmountained. Zion, the zealot guards. Zion, the Protestant compost. Zion gate locked in, locked out of the tomb rich, psalm rich fault scarps. Zion, Sayun. Sion. The name falls from grace, falls from the trees, falls from the garden. The name falls from the rock of Eden into the dust of Hinnom. Two more poems. obviously it's quite worrying when you're living in a country where the last EU elections, lots and lots of people voted for the Brexit Party, a brand new party led by Farage. It's kind of worrying. So I wrote this poem as a response to, as a member of an ethnic minority, although I'm not by any means the most vulnerable, but one does feel a bit vulnerable when this kind of thing is on the rise. So I'm trying to imagine, why do people vote fascist? X. You know that I could be in love with almost everyone. In the polling booth, I was in touch with a feeling of both privacy and primacy, that I could take my clothes off, so to speak, commune directly with the powerful ones, to bless and or to curse, that I was possessed of both mastery and integrity, my ex like a spark of Gnosticism, like a Roman coin. But suddenly I found myself under the humongous crush of something more great, more naked, the huge limbs and muscular tissue of the body politic, all-inclusive, multicolored street drinkers, traffic wardens, middle-aged men in lycra, etc., everyone ever known, blood brothers, voodoo haters, everyone I'd ever met, and a million awkward, unsatisfying meetings that yet left me with something of a good feeling, hopefully them too. Long forgotten encounters, lager fueled assemblies with people in foreign geographies, not to mention psychologies and economies, leopard-esque grandmothers jumping on my thighs like bonobos, hoodies and gangs from other postcodes to mine, glaring from their hoods, then cacinating, educationalists who specialize in extracurricular, you know, men in aprons, talking of Zedekiah, Poxman the Rottweiler with leg extended, even politicians I'd actually seen in the flesh and imagined spontaneously cudgeling before CCTV came in, poets and left-wingers I'd fallen out with just for the sake of it. The booth was like a beehive, a population-sized rugby scrum in which the agonized bodies were elbowing, kicking, jostling, kneeing one another, fighting for the magic marker, one stroke of which could change life, change human society for the better. Before long, cheap corks were popping, the lunacy became user-friendly, the competitive, collaborative, the conservative, so anarchist as if to simulate orgy, more licks than flicks, if I can paraphrase Beckett paraphrasing Jesus. It definitely reminded me of Dublin and the rare old etc. I was hungry, but the only food was drugs. The situation auto-corrected itself with an invigilator's cough. I was alone again, or fully clothed, sober, hating with a kind of religious mania all the people I just partied with, even the horsey types who queued up for my Republican by the thousand. So you know what? I limbed my ex in the fascist box. But when I tried crossing it out, it looked bolder and bolder anyway. It wasn't a magic marker anymore. It was a pencil, the same pencil I'd always been suspicious of, that they could rub out with government rubbers if they wanted to. Finish with where I'd begun, with a mask. These masks, it was the most unsubversive literary form in English literary history. So I'm trying to write masks that are more subversive. And this one features a character called Spencer, but it's not to Edmund Spencer, John Spencer, the Lord Mayor of London. A really nasty piece of work. We tried to ban all theatre in the city, and not only in the city, then in the suburbs as well. So this is called The Mask of Puritans. St. Helens Church, Bishopsgate, 1595. Shakespeare. It is the law that I kneel here. I do not ask for this salvation or forgiveness of sin, any more than of fever. The moral's not mine, but inner ears, remembrancers of Latin, enshrine English now. The bishop's Bible blows like keys. In Genesis I hear the Lord and God. In Psalms the Tetragrammaton and Elohim. Who's who? Parker? Grindal? It is the law, I pray at Helen's, but this English is sweet as sherris to one who swims in sound. He exits, but is noticed by the Lord Mayor, John Spencer. Spencer. Is it you, a plaisterer? Is it really you? Or one of your guises, one of your attires? I spy your pretense of Protestantism. You'd rather be at the boar. Your works, ha, emptier of the Christ than a jade's will. You'd rather be in woman's garb than man's, curved like Eve, mouth red with serenading. You rue your duty to attend God's house, when in fact you should be debarred. Shakespeare aside. Oh hell, it is the engrosser, a Midas atop his gold mittens, cloth worker for the square pegs. His chains, the chain of dispatcher. His city stands portcullis to my art. To Spencer. Your lordship's as much a player on the stage of London as I. Spencer. This metaphor of yours, the stage, you think London, you think England a polygon, an inn. This is your idiocy, a loon's ball. The unseriousness of it galls, debasing lawyers, law itself, to rooting hogs, like some comus. As you are low, I lower myself to pluck the weed of your humanism and call for the final suppressing. Shakespeare mumbles, then aside, I am dumbfounded by this dull cap here, such levels of vituperation I am not used to, who more usually must fend off the over-enamored. My wings fall by my side, I am engrossed. One of the demonstrations by apprentices and others in 1595 involved taking down the public pillories, a symbol of municipal justice, for the good of the Commonwealth, they said, and setting up a gallows outside the Lord Mayor Spencer's house. Thousands waited, he did not appear. Spencer, hiding in Crosby Hall. What black art's this? Doorstepped by Shakespeare's mob, a gallows hangs on my skyline, and the foul calls are for my legs to be paddling the air. My mayoralty, their laughter is like death. O Lord, send fleas from furs, high fevers, deliriums, convulsions, a white sheet to enwrap them, a toxin ringing out for life, and a voice crying, do it, do it. 1603, plague returns to London. Chorus of Puritans. This silence of yours is purple, is godly, the hush that has fallen on playhouses as the people fall in the streets, scythed. We saw them in your audiences, the poor, the hungry, the homeless and mad, flashing like the fetches of the about to be dead. They would have stolen our life from us, our God, but their hands were thin as sticks and slowed by cold. Abraham men at loose, congregating at the interludes, looking for and finding something like wits, manna, falling from the proscenium onto, into them. We refused the sound. The masterless swam in it and drowned. Our sound runs dry again. So, thank you. Thanks very much, O'Vail, for giving my frustrated Irish mouth a chance to shoot off some English.